morning from Colossians 3, 12 through 17 obviously has a central theme, and that is of thanksgiving. Now, in this passage is normally used in reference to our singing, but the focus here today is on being thankful. And the title of this lesson is simply Thanking Your Way to a Stronger Family. Thanking Your Way to a Stronger Family. Our world is hard on families. There are so many distractions, so many things that pull families away. There's so much doubt. There's so much agnosticism and atheism and materialism. There's so much going on out there that causes our family members to question God. Is God really there? Is the church really His family? Is the Bible accurate? And so many things that tend to cause us to question and doubt. The world is hard on our families. And at times it causes challenges within our own relationships with each other. And I want to propose this morning a way by which we can make our family stronger by being more thankful, by being thankful people. Now, Thursday is Thanksgiving. We know that. And it's a beautiful celebration, a beautiful holiday. The world has started calling it Turkey Day because they don't want to say Thanksgiving, because that implies something for which we have to be thankful, and someone to whom we must be thankful, and by implication, that would be God. Now, if you read the bulletin article this morning, you'll note that in that I point out that so many folks have started using Thanksgiving as a time not to pray to God, not to be thankful to God, but simply to express their gratitude to those in their lives who have enriched their lives. And this is a good practice. It's a good thing to do, not a bad thing at all. But it's done in a replacement to giving thanks to God. I say you ought to do the one and not leave the other undone. I think it's important that we express to each other how important they are to us, the people in our lives, how much they mean to us. Years ago, a woman wrote an article about a strange invitation she received from a cousin. The cousin wrote, "Come for a Thanksgiving dinner on Saturday, March the 20th. Well, that's not Thanksgiving. And then her cousin explained, "We're not celebrating an early Thanksgiving. We're having a Thanksgiving meal to celebrate the good report from my husband's medical tests. He'd been very seriously ill." When she was asked about it, the cousin replied, "In our family, we sometimes have as many as 10 Thanksgivings in one year. They celebrate happy events in their family, a job promotion, a graduation, good medical reports, things of that nature. Sometimes," she wrote, "we celebrate with a dinner party, sometimes with a picnic or an outing, but always with as many members of our clan as we can round up." 10 Thanksgivings a year, can you imagine what that would do to your waistline? Oh my. But what a wonderful idea to gather family and friends and loved ones and celebrate the blessings that we receive. To actually have a Thanksgiving meal other than on Thanksgiving Day. I think that's really captures the spirit of what Christianity is all about. Here we are in Colossians 3:17. And this passage is telling us that 10 Thanksgivings a year is not enough. It's not enough. If a Christian is going to follow Paul's advice, he's going to be thankful always. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever we do, every day of the year, we need to be thankful. And we need to give thanks. We should be known as a thankful people. That's how Christians should be recognized. We're grateful. We're thankful. You've got the 10 lepers. Only one came back to give thanks. The 9 went on their way. Where are the 9? They were not thankful. It should not be an unusual thing for us to be thankful. That should be the norm. When somebody sees you and knows that you're a child of God, they should automatically know this is a thankful person. They're grateful. That's how we should be characterized. That's how we should be seen. And this is every part of our life. every part of our life. And it's especially true in our homes. And it's especially true with how we deal with our families. Several years ago, a series of studies was done in an effort to try to discover the characteristics of strong families. And the most important characteristic that they found in the strongest families was appreciation for one another. Are you listening? That was the number one characteristic in common in all of these families, was a great appreciation for one another. Loving, successful families express their appreciation for what each member brings to the family, what each member does, and for who they are. Another study was done to examine the effects of praise in the workplace. You're going to like this one. The study showed that the ratio of praise to criticism in the workplace needs to be 4 praise statements to 1 critical statement in order for there to be a feeling of balance in the workplace. 4 statements of praise for every 1 critical statement. You're late. Well, then you owe him 4 praises. Find something to be for him to feel good, for him to feel balanced in the workplace. That means there needs to be 4 times as much praise as there is criticism for people to feel good about themselves and feel good about the balance of their workplace. Well, doesn't that apply to every relationship? You know, it's so easy for us to be critical. People need appreciation. They need it. They need praise. They need this 4 times as much as they need criticism. We all need to be criticized at times. All of us mess up. All of us do boneheaded things, okay? We all make silly mistakes and forget things, don't we? We all do. We all do. But we need to have that healthy environment of praise and appreciation. And so many families just fail to understand this. Okay, here we go. There was a man that was complaining about his wife because she just didn't have much interest in household chores. She just didn't care about it. So he bought her, as a joke now, as a gag gift, he bought her a little magnet that stuck on the refrigerator that said, "Martha Stewart doesn't live here." Well, that evening when he came home from work, he noticed on the refrigerator a little paper behind the magnet that wrote, "Neither does Bob Vila." Now, I know that's all meant in good-humored fun, and we need to have fun, but the reality is there's so many statements and critical statements that are made about families that are not intended to be funny. They're offensive. They're meant to hurt, to cause pain. And even in the best of homes, there are times when harsh words are spoken and hard feelings are felt. This happens. Why does it happen? Well, there are a couple of possible reasons that I'll mention real quick. One is sometimes folks feel that harsh words are the only way they can cause a change to take place. That the only way that I can get you to be better, to do better, is to give you a hard time, to really be critical to you. And what this promotes, though, is a lack of appreciation. It promotes in that person that you're trying to cause them to change something that they're doing that's disturbing you. All it does is create in them a feeling that they're not appreciated for all the good that they do. But the thing that's being noticed is where they're failing. And so they don't feel appreciated. People too often forget how important the lives are of those around them. They forget to express to them how important the people are around them and take for granted that relationship. And they don't express that gratitude. One college woman, well, let me just put it this way. We need to keep our perspective, folks. We need to keep our perspective. Now, you know, you've seen the paper where they hold up a blank paper and there's just a single dot in the middle and they say, "What do you see? What do you see?" And everybody without exception, everybody except for the smart alecks in the group or those who've seen it before, all of them will say, "I see a dot on a page." That's what happens. The negative is what jumps to our attention. That's just our human nature. We automatically see the negative. The squeaky wheel gets the grease, that sort of thing. It's normal human behavior. But we have to rise above that. We have to recognize something beyond just the critical thing that we see. We need to express appreciation. So to do that, we need to keep things in perspective. So a young college woman wrote a letter to her mother. Here's her letter. Listen to this. Dear Mom, sorry I haven't written sooner. My arm has been healing. I broke my arm and my left leg when I jumped out of the second floor of my dormitory because of the fire that we had in the dormitory. Boy, were we lucky. There was a young convenience store worker that saw the blaze. He called the fire department, and they were there in minutes, and I was only in the hospital for a few days. Now, Habib, that convenience store worker, he came to see me in the hospital every day. He was so nice. It was taking so long for the dormitory to be able to be moved back in that I moved in with him. And Habib and I plan to get married as soon as he can get a divorce. I hope things at home are fine. I'm doing well and will write more when I get the chance. Love, your daughter, Susie. P.S. None of the above is true, but I did get a C in sociology and I flunked chemistry. I just wanted you to get this news and put it in the proper perspective. By show of hands, how many of you have ever played Lava? I want to know, how many of you, come on, let me see. How many have ever played Lava? Tell me, show me. I see a few. Now, Elijah, you've never played Lava. You don't even know what that is. All right, good. I see some. Played Lava. Now, those of you that need more culture, let me explain this amazing game. It's called Lava. Now, we all know what lava is. It's that molten magma that's under the earth that when it comes up, it melts whatever gets in its path. So what the kids do is that to play lava, the floor is lava. And you can't step on the floor or you're going to burn up. And so you climb on the furniture. You'll get up on the chair. You'll jump from one chair to another. You'll jump on the table. Well, Ashley and Brittany were playing lava in our house one day. And Ashley was wearing sock feet. And she jumped up on the table because the floor is lava. And she slid and knocked off an irreplaceable porcelain dish that was very precious to Faye, and it broke. Oh no, what are we gonna do? And so Ashley tries to hide it, and Brittany says, you're gonna get in so much trouble. Well, maybe Mama won't see it. And Mama saw it, and Mama started crying because this was something she could not replace. And when I found out about it, I unloaded on Ashley. Let me tell you, I was so mad. I saw Faye was hurt, and I was so angry, and I just poured it on her. I don't think I spanked her. I don't remember that. She might. But I do remember getting in her face and just, I scolded her at the top of my voice. I was out of control. And I needed to be reminded that it didn't matter what kind of a day I'd been through. And it wasn't important how frayed my nerves were from the things I'd been dealing with that day. And even if she had done something wrong and deserved to be punished, that did not excuse my uncontrolled anger. Didn't excuse it. Unexcusable. And I needed to remind myself, what was more important, that dish or my daughter? We have to put things in perspective. We have to keep things in perspective. Thankfulness for our family is often a matter of having the right perspective on things and recognizing that what, and I should say who, is most important. A house can be replaced. A car can be replaced. A shirt can be replaced. A book can be replaced. But a child can't. A child can't. A loving relationship can't. Too often, we're just not thankful enough. Have you ever noticed how people tend to be so negative? I know you have. Negative comments happen all the time. Parents put down their kids. Kids disrespect their parents. Wives insult their husbands. Husbands talk bad about their wives. And it seems they think the best way to change that other person's behavior is just let them know how upset you are and let them know how disappointed and angry at them you are. And then the second thing we do is we complain to others about the other person, as though we're trying to get support, get somebody on the bandwagon, if you please, and get their affirmation so that they can help us to change that other person. Yeah. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. Jesus said, don't talk about people. He said, talk to people. I want to say that again. Jesus told us, don't talk about people. Talk to people. Church, are you hearing what the Lord said? Amen. Talk to people, not about people. And if all of us would live like that, if all of us would recognize the value of that, oh my, how much brighter our families would be, our workplaces would be, and our own lives would be. So how do I get this through this critical nature that I tend to have? How do I overcome that? Well, listen to a couple of passages. James 3, verse 9 and 10. James says, with the tongue we praise God the Father, and with it we curse man. With it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praising and cursing. Brothers, this should not be. And then in Colossians 3:17, Paul says, whether we make critical comments consciously or unconsciously is irrelevant. Paul says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. It's so easy for us unconsciously to be critical. But God commands us to consciously be thankful. Now listen. Unconsciously, we may find ourselves criticizing before we stop and think. But consciously, we need to make a conscious effort to be thankful, to tell people thank you, to express our appreciation for people who mean so much to us, and let them know why they mean so much to us. So how do I develop this attitude? Well, the best way is to turn my heart, instead of being so critical, turn it into, let's say, a garden of thanksgiving. Let me explain that. One fellow said, the grass is not greener on the other side of the fence, and the grass is not greener on my side of the fence. The grass is greener where you water it, where you feed it, where you fertilize it. That's where the grass is greener. So in my heart, I need to plant seeds of thankfulness. I need to put in the attitude of gratitude, if you please. And I need to feed and water that garden, tending it constantly, keeping the weeds out, and just express my appreciation so much. Express it. Tell it. Say it. And it's more than just words. It's deeds as well. Expressions of gratitude both in word and in deed. Now, yes, there's a time and a place for criticism. There's a time and a place for confrontation. There's a time and a place for anger. But that should be the exception and not the rule for us. The rule should be gratitude and praise and encouragement. That should be the rule for us. So the way we develop this is simply by making sure we give thanks to God the Father through Christ, being thankful in all things. So when we pray to God, we need to focus on the things that we're grateful for regarding our mate or our child or children or our parents. We need to focus on what we're grateful for about them and express to God, thank you for this in my mother. Thank you for this in my wife. Thank you for this in my child. Thank you for this that you have done, that you have blessed me so much through what they do. And then not only thank God for them, but then thank them. And you know what's going to happen when you do this? And you know, well, let me just go ahead and say, think of the most difficult person that you ever deal with. You got them in mind? Got them in mind? Better not be me. Think of the most difficult person you deal with. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray fervently for them. And then find something to be thankful about that person, regarding that person. And you know what? You're going to feel something there. You're going to feel amazement. you're going to be amazed at how it's going to make you change your attitude toward that person. And if you do this on a regular basis, will it change your spouse's behavior? Will it change the behavior of your child? Who knows? But it will change you. Are you listening? It will change you. It will help you to become more like Jesus. We need to face the fact about people. Being critical does not change people. What it does, it causes them to stiffen up. It causes them to resist. And it causes them to tend to strike back. By being critical of others, that does not change. You and I can change the things in this world, not by being critical and in your face, but by praying for people and by encouraging and praising people every place that we possibly can. And you know what will happen if you're one of those critical people? Folks are going to find a way to avoid you. They're going to find a way to go around the other side of the aisle when they see you in the store to avoid having to deal with your criticisms or your complaints. If that's the fact is, critical people are just not a lot of fun to be around. They're just not. One pharmacy posted this sign at its service bell. It says, "Ring once for service. Ring twice for poor service. Ring three times for no service." I like that. The truth is, if I want someone to respond kindly to me, I should express an attitude of gratitude. The preacher did not want to see this woman again. He did not want to see her again. "Please, Lord, let someone else be at the desk today." But there she was, standing there in the post office, and he had no choice but to walk up to her, Miss Grouchy herself. And he thought about complaining to her and to her supervisors about how rude she treated him, about how gruff and unkind and just, you know, she was just so rude and grouchy all the time. But then he realized, you know, I'm God's servant. That's not going to work. So he made up his mind. I'm going to win her with charm. And so he began to compliment her. And every time he'd go in there, he'd brag on her. So, "Oh, you look nice today." Or, "You know, the place just looks really good. And, you know, you're moving. You're getting this thing done. I'll tell you what. Y'all do a great job. You're doing a great job." And he just found something to brag on her about and to praise her about. And you know what happened? She began to change. And eventually she smiled at him. And then she started finding ways to help him mail his packages more efficiently. It was amazing. An attitude of gratitude and expressing thanks to someone and praise for someone can change their heart and change their behavior. But what if the person does not change? What if it doesn't change the person? What if they still behave badly? What if they still irritate and annoy you? Well, does that give you a pass from God on His command to be thankful? Nope. Nope. You still have to be thankful. You still have to be praiseworthy. You still have to do what you can to influence for good, even those that are cantankerous. You see, it doesn't matter what goes on with those around you. God still commands us to be people of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is not dependent upon our circumstances. Thanksgiving is something all of us should do. Now, by show of hands, how many of you have seen the movie Pollyanna? Raise your hand if you've seen that movie. All right, good, good, good. I have a copy of Pollyanna that I keep in my library. If you've never seen it, shame on you. It's one of the finest little movies ever made. And it's a movie about the attitude of gratitude. And I recommend it highly. So if you want to borrow that movie, you come see me. And I'll loan you that movie and you watch it. Because it's not a perfect thing, it's not Bible. But what it does, it shows how people can change by folks being grateful. By a little girl being grateful and thankful. And having the attitude of gratitude that Jesus encouraged and demanded that we have. The power to overcome our circumstances comes when we understand gratitude, when we understand thankfulness, We need to give thanks to our Father in heaven regardless of the circumstance. Even in the harshest of conditions, we still have something to be thankful for. God has called us to Himself. He has allowed us to be His people. And we have the hope of heaven as our home. And if we starve to death, if we die a horrible death of pain and anguish, if we are abandoned by every human being around us, if we lose everything we have and live in abject poverty, we still have something to be thankful for, something to rejoice in. And that is that God loves us, that Jesus died for us, and that we were blessed to know about it and have had the opportunity to obey our Lord. That is a great blessing, and that's something for which to be thankful, even if this world's goods are denied us, and even if we die lonely and destitute, still God is waiting for us, and He will take us home. Now, if you're not a Christian, you don't have that hope, and you need to obey the gospel before it's too late. We need to be known as thankful people, but we have to start by showing God our gratitude by obeying His gospel so that Jesus can save us by His precious blood. So if you've not obeyed the gospel, you need to become a child of God. Come to Jesus while you can. If you believe He's the Son of God, then repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him, and be baptized for remission of sins. And if you've already done that, but you've not been faithful to your Lord, get right. Get right with God now. And be grateful for what God has done. And to show Him your gratitude by dedicating your life to His service. If there's a way we can help you, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing.